After a disaster, whether man-made or natural, before reconstruction can really begin, disaster victims invariably face a huge and often toxic problem of debris, and in particular, rubble. The UN Development Programme has cleared nearly 800,000 tons of rubble from Ukraine so far. It estimates the amount of debris in Gaza at 60 million tons. Simply removing debris is very costly, both in terms of money and the environment. So innovative ways of recycling rubble are potentially of huge benefit to the recovery process. Mobile Crisis Construction is an Australian charity that's developed technology that uses rubble to quickly produce new building materials to repair damaged buildings and, as they put it, accelerate a return to normality. They're already doing just that in the Ukrainian capital, Kyiv. Nick Matic and Blake Stacey founded Mobile Crisis Construction in 2019, and they join us now on Sunday Extra. Welcome to you both.
Thanks for having us, Julian.
Thank you.
Mobile Crisis Construction makes what you call crisis bricks. So what are crisis bricks, and how is it that two Perth-based engineers got into making them?
Okay, so it's an interesting story. Blake and I, we've known each other for a while. We've worked on a couple of projects together, and we looked at, you know, how to compete in this sort of recyclable interlocking block technology. And we couldn't see any way of doing it profitably to compete against the big brick players in capital cities. And one day over a couple of pints at the pub, we thought, well, actually, hang on, why don't we just do this for free? Let's put our engineering skills to good use. And we founded Mobile Crisis Construction to respond not just to wars, which sort of came naturally after a while, but also to disaster zones, so an earthquake or a flood where the buildings are being damaged. And we decided that it would be our mission to build back better.
Fantastic. So what exactly is a crisis brick and how do you make it?
So a crisis brick is an interlocking block that doesn't require any mortar skills or mortar to mix. It's basically put together by stacking one on top of the other. It has the potential to put in rebar or vertical bars for earthquake and cyclone resistance. And both Nick and I are risk engineers, so we look at the various standards for wherever we're building, and we look at the risks involved. And I suppose we design the brick and the house with the structural engineers. And eventually we come to a point where we can train people and help them to both build and to manufacture the blocks.
Julian, think of a very famous interlocking block that's a toy that the child might think of it like that. I'm not sure if we're allowed to mention commercial.
Oh, I think we could probably get away with it.
Think of it like that, like a stackable Lego blocks, but life-sized.
Fantastic. And the other thing you do is you create mobile brick factories. So could you tell us how you make a mobile brick factory? What does it look like and how does it work?
It's basically a 20-foot container that houses a press and a mixer and a conveyor that takes the material from the mixer to the press. And on the outside of that, there's big crushers like a jaw crusher or a hammer mill to deal with the rubble. That rubble obviously has to be pre-sorted and it spits out the bricks out the front, and then they have to cure for a few days before they can be used in the brick making process or building process.
And one of the reasons why we made the factories mobile is that in these disaster zones or war zones, you can't take the material to the factory because generally the factories are either bombed out, destroyed, there's no power. So we're taking the factory to the raw materials, which are already there.
In terms of what your mobile factories can produce, can you give us a sense of the sort of scale that's possible with them?
The first one we designed had a nameplate capacity of about 6,000 blocks per day. But as I've been running the demonstration factory here in Perth, I've only been able to make no more than 1,000 on that particular machine per day. So we've sourced a new press that can make around about 4,000 blocks per day. And that new press will be built in Ukraine for Ukraine. So it's a really good step forward for us in that sense.
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with Nick Matic and Blake Stacey, the founders of Mobile Crisis Construction, about their crisis bricks and their mobile brick factories. So what have you been able to do in Ukraine so far, guys?
I'd say it's very difficult because we've delivered the factory to them. We delivered it in winter, and really not much goes on there in winter. It's quite difficult. There's no building, hardly any manufacturing outdoors. All the clay and raw materials are either completely icy or wet and unusable. So we had to wait for the next summer to start. Then they have troubles when there's a breakdown on the machine. They have quite a lot of difficulty getting skilled workers in. So I'm not sure if it's kosher to say it, but one of the problems is that the young men who are good technicians actually don't want to leave their house for fear of being conscripted. So there's a lot of fear, a lot of trauma, and this is a very difficult war zone to operate in. So we found that it's just very slow going this last season, very slow going.
In terms of the actual process, you talked about the need to pre-sort. What sort of risks are there with toxic material being in the rubble, and how do you deal with that?
It is an issue, but it's one that's being dealt with on the ground. So obviously there are NGOs and the like that do pre-process the rubble for use. Obviously, in building materials, there's things such as steel, which has a value, the wiring, there is the ever presence of asbestos. However, that is pre-sorted. You have people running around in hazmat suits sifting out fibrous material, and then you end up with buckets of products, I guess. And each of those buckets has a value. The steel has a value in industry. The rubble has a value in it's actually raw materials. So that's sort of another layer of response, is that preparing the material, and that's something that happens on ground as opposed to from over here. So we generally rely on the charity that we've donated the factory to arrange that on ground. And there's actually quite a ready supply, although it does come at a cost. You would think that rubble was free, but because of the manpower that's gone into it, it actually has an inherent value from the effort that's gone to prepare it. I guess in a war zone, anything that's clean or can be used has value.
The charity basically operates with other charities in that zone. So at first, when we set Mobile Crisis up, we thought, oh yeah, we'll be building, we'll be doing those things. But actually, it's better for us just to supply the technology, attempt to certify the bricks for them and with them, or the design of the bricks, they might want something different, and to help them to manufacture the bricks. So we're sort of a slot in the whole process. And the start of the process is that sorting of rubble and then the crushing of it. We can provide the crushing, we can provide the bricks, and someone else has got to build in a charity sense. So it's we have to work in with existing charities that are there. It's quite important for us.
You referred there to getting the bricks certified. What issues are there with the use of concrete that's made from recycled content? And does that have sort of regulatory challenges in Ukraine or other places?
The only regulatory difference between Australia and Ukraine is a thing called freeze-thaw. So they have freezing conditions and Australia basically doesn't. So it's hard for us to fully certify something made from materials somewhere else. So we can only do a little bit of it here. We have to actually rely on labs in Europe to do that. And we ask those charities to get in touch with them and certify those.
Again,
products.
We do, Blake, correct me if I'm wrong, Australia, we can meet for our bricks here. We can meet the Australian regulations. So in terms of the strength, we don't see an issue there. Again, just with that final test, it's something that we don't have any labs in Australia that will be able to do that for us. And, we can provide contacts for the groups to use. So, again, we're about enabling these other people to achieve the end goal of recycling the material and rebuilding their lives.
Is the aim for Crisis Bricks to be a permanent building material, or is it intended to be like a transitional thing?
Yeah, definitely permanent. And we're about to deal with a new charity for us in Ukraine called YWAM. YWAM Ukraine are currently producing temporary housing for people, and they would like to start doing permanent dwellings. So that's why they would like to work with us. So yes, definitely permanent, and should have all the normal brick structures certification that you would normally have.
You mentioned also using your technology and your mobile brick factories in response to natural disasters as well. Where else could you see the products that you're developing being deployed, and do you have current plans for that?
So this is a very interesting question, and it's something that we've struggled with in the past because the news cycle for a natural disaster is so short. Because these machines, they aren't, they're about $120,000 Australian dollars to send somewhere. And so raising the funds for a specific cause, it's you need that sort of that news cycle to continue. And we were able to raise funds for this for Ukraine quite easily, unfortunately, because it's gone on for so long. So we spent some time building up our cash reserves. And because it's been going on for so many years, we were able to raise funds. Ideally, we'd like to see a situation where we were considered by the UN or the UNHCR to be part of a response, and we were funded by similar like a stipend where we would have a factory on hand at any one time, or multiple factories on hand at any one time. And as soon as a disaster hits, we get put in touch with the people that are part of this rebuilding response, and we provide them a factory. So right now, without the news cycle going on for so long, it's hard to build up that funding capacity to have machines on hand. And that's where we'd like to see ourselves getting to in a couple of years, once we've, you know, had some successes either in Ukraine or potentially Gaza, where we've had some interest, quite a bit of interest, given that there's been, you know, quite a good effort and quite some progress made in a ceasefire.
I think we both know that funding's required to build up that sort of stock of machines and response and people sitting, you know, waiting in a sense or ready, at the ready. And I suppose we would see that if we had $1 million a year, which as I know is a bit of a cheeky way to put it, but if we had $1 million a year, we could really make this thing fly. We would have, say, 3 or 4 factories waiting, ready to go at a moment's notice, and the materials pretty much sorted out for each place. So yes, it could make a very big difference. So when people say they're giving X million dollars for Ukraine or whatever, one of those $1 million would really suit us just fine.
Well, it's a great initiative, and sadly, I suppose, the area that you're working in is one where there's a massive and increasing need. So Nick and Blake, thank you so much for speaking with us about the work of Mobile Crisis Construction on Sunday Extra.
Thanks, Julian. Thanks.
That's Nick Madich and Blake Stacey, Perth-based engineers and the co-founders of Mobile Crisis Construction.
Listen to more great stories that take you beyond the headlines. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.